What's up, y'all? Welcome to Radio Free Nintendo, episode 94.
Neasel.
We got the usual crew back. Welcome back, John.
Hey, it's good to be back.
Why weren't you here last week?
I just had some drama going on here at the house, as the podcast was starting, so I couldn't I could not attend, unfortunately.
As the world turns.
Yeah, I apologize for the last minute duck out, but it could not be avoided.
That's okay. Luckily, we had
all the fans, man. All
fill the
fans
ranks.
Yeah, it was safe. Good save, I must say.
Yeah, and we did our little Luigi Twins thing and cracked ourselves up so bad that we forgot to record the new business and had to do it over again.
Full disclosure, yeah, there.
isn't it cool, like talking about something for the second time, but trying to fake enthusiasm as if it were the first time you?
Yeah,
said it?
I have difficulty enough feigning enthusiasm the first time. I've got to be honest. So.
Are we supposed to be sounding?
Greg just
kind of
sleeps through the show.
Yeah,
he mumbles new vocabulary words for all of us, but he's not really paying attention.
In his defense, it is like 2 a.m. there, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm surprised you actually sound awake for most of the podcast, Greg.
I'm heavily caffeinated. That's my excuse.
Sometime it might be interesting for us to record in the middle of the night here in the U.S., so then Greg will be fully awake and the rest of us will be zombified.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Turn the tables.
I don't know. I think it would just be Greg talking, which I don't know if that's too good. I think it
Ooh.
Might kill the ratings, if you know what I'm saying. You know, it'll just be a whole bunch of Lords of Thunder all the time.
Well, that's my fault, is it? I'm responsible for that.
Considering we started talking about it before it ever even came out there.
I'm surprised we haven't had any Lords of Thunder a cappella renditions yet.
Mm-hmm.
Considering we've had Bubble Bobble and, you know, Mario Twins and a bunch of other crap.
I'm not going to say what for, but I've actually gone back and started collecting all the depictions of Lords of Thunder. So there's this folder now that's full of Lords of Thunder recordings.
Some kind of Oscars-style
montage. Yeah, it'll be like the montage when we leave high school, you know what I mean? Like showing all the good times kind of thing.
Except it'll all be Lords of Thunder. I can't wait for that.
Yeah, it'll be good stuff.
Nice. Okay, well, we're going to have first segment, new business, as usual, with all the usual gang. And then for the second segment, I think we're going to do something a little different. And I'll let that speak for itself when we get to it. I don't want to spoil it or doom it because we haven't recorded it yet. But anyway, John, you're up first, man.
Yeah, my new business, I actually picked up a copy of Ninja Gaiden Dragon Sword.
And, shit! Ooh, I want to hear about this.
Yeah, the thing is, I kept it kind of on the down low because I know that everybody wants to hear what it's about, and I know that we haven't gotten a review copy of it, so I would like to, before I dive into it, I actually do want to do a review of it. Of course, you know how I am with reviews. I turn them in just turn them over like that within minutes sometimes. But
I know it's probably already waiting in my inbox.
But so it's interesting. I would classify it as good, probably not great. The most interesting, the best way I can describe it is it's kind of like it reminds me of Final Fantasy VIII. You know how that gameplay style where you're like you're a polygon guy moving against the flat background, that kind of style.
The
that's kind of what
stuff?
It reminds me of, because I mean everything looks really good, but it has that sort of feel. The backgrounds are kind of dead in a way, you're moving around, but nothing really moves. It has that kind of feel to it.
Resident Evil. Also.
Yeah, definitely.
There are a bunch of games like that.
So the background is all pre-rendered.
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, it's all pre-rendered.
But it's okay. But are there no animations or anything in the background?
No. See, that's the thing. There's like I would think that maybe there might be some trees or something moving, but there's really nothing. I mean, it's just
that's kind of lame. I mean, I wouldn't expect like FMV backgrounds like Baten Kaito stuff, where everything's kind of moving all the time.
Yeah.
And even FF8 did that in cutscenes. They had like FMV that you could walk through. But it was like they'd kind of rush you through it, it was like directed interactive cutscenes. But I don't know, man. I kind of think on DS you should at least be able to have something blowing in the wind or something. I don't know, like, you know, they didn't... Layton, Professor Layton has really static backgrounds, but you kind of expect that for a puzzle game.
Yeah.
It's
yeah,
just
well,
window dressing, but for an action well,
also,
game,
I mean,
you kind of want the environment to feel like you're actually in it.
Yeah.
But, you know, here's
go ahead.
Well, here's a point worth noting is that the DS's storage capacity is substantially lower, so
yeah.
Obviously what they can store in terms of FMV for backgrounds would have to be fairly limited to begin with.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude, but, you know, there's some animated pre-rendered backgrounds in Resident Evil 2, and they put that on N64.
Yeah, but I don't know. I mean, the N60... Well, first off, let's point out the N64 version of that game is...
250.
The worst version of it.
Well, it's...
No, it's probably better than the... Well, I don't even know if they ever put 2 on Saturn. I know the Saturn port of Resident Evil 1 was pretty bad.
Well, I have to give credit to anyone who's willing to port anything to the Saturn, considering how much work it was to program
yeah,
for that system.
Yeah.
Oh, I know, but, you know, Capcom and Konami both did a bunch of PlayStation to Saturn ports. They did, they ported Symphony of the Night to
yeah,
Saturn,
yeah.
Which is awful.
Yeah.
It's totally terrible.
That's just blasphemous.
Yeah.
The fact they could
well,
make
you
a
know.
Game like that.
Well, John, I was going to ask one question, and the most important question for games from this company.
What?
How did they handle breast physics on the DS?
Well, see, the thing is, they tell the story through kind of like, almost like comic book sort of cutscenes. That's a lot what it's like, which is kind of weird coming from the console games, because it kind of lends it, it gives it kind of a more cartoony kind of feel, like not necessarily in tone, but just in look. I mean, it looks...
Wait. When you say the console games, are you going all the way back to the NES games?
Well, not... Yeah, that's actually...
Because
those
were really,
right.
Like, manga-style kind of stuff.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. That's actually more what it's like. That's more...
Well, that's cool, man.
Yeah, it's...
By the way, those were animated on NES.
Mm-hmm.
Just saying.
Yeah. Yeah. But you know what I mean? I feel like this, the series, especially on the consoles, it's taken a lot more... A more serious turn. Like, it's not... Mm. You know, it's kind of veered away from the, like, the plot has been kind of, you know, always in depth. In terms of NES days, but, you know, but definitely, like, the game is more, I mean, it's probably more well-known for its blood and bouncing breasts than being kind of like this campy anime sort of thing. Not saying that, you know, this new one is campy, but you know what I mean? It's more
well, you know,
serious.
Well, you know, that might come from the producer who is... batshit insane.
Yes.
But, you know, I'm not surprised this one's tone is a little bit less severe because, as I understand it, this game was only created because, you know, he's a graphics whore.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason he worked on the DS was because his son implored him to make a game for the DS.
Yep.
At least that's the story I've heard. So
yeah, it definitely...
I'm surprised he didn't do, like, a Tecmo's Deception or what is it? It used to be called, like, Kaguro's Deception or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But they had this series on PlayStation 1, and there might have been one game in the series for PlayStation 2, like in the really early days, but it was this series where you played this female character, I think, and you like walked around and set traps, and then you'd hit a button and all these guys would come through the room and they would fall into your traps.
Yeah, was that on PS1?
Yeah.
Was that PS1 that was on?
PS1, and yeah, I think there was also one on PS2, but it was, yeah, it was called like Kaguro's, I think it was Kaguro's Deception.
Yeah, I remember that.
But that seems like that would probably work on DS.
Yeah, I mean,
maybe we can get that one next. That would be cool to see that series come back because I think that series was like all about setting like a spring trap in the floor and then putting spikes on the ceiling so you saw the guy walk over the thing and then it launched him up in the air and slammed him into the spikes. Like, because the whole idea was to make these really silly like Wile E. Coyote kind of contraptions to kill people.
So was it like a puzzle game or? Or what? Like,
sort of. Yeah. You know, I've never actually
a
played
really
it.
A really gruesome puzzle
I've read
game.
A good deal about it, or at least I did way back when. But I never actually played them. I thought they were pretty interesting sounding.
Mm-hmm.
But and it seems like the kind of game type that would work on DS.
Yeah, you could definitely. It sounds like you would definitely. You know, you could easily pull that off. Yeah. But the other thing was the control scheme is interesting. I was really curious to see how it would control with the stylus, and for the most part, it's. It's okay. It kind of reminds me of Meteos, where you know how some people say that you can play that game by just scratching the screen? You know, and you can actually do okay without even trying to really do anything, and you can just sit there and scratch the screen and you can get combos that way. That's what it kind of reminds me of. Like, there's, like, you can easily, I mean, the way it works is you kind of slash from top right to bottom left if you're moving to the left kind of thing, and that's how you slice your sword. And there's various, you know, you can do various flips, and then when, like, I think, like, up is to jump up in the air and do a flip, and then when you're up in the air, you can, you know, you can do down with it, like a downstroke, and that is, like, you know, a super move, like, you know, you can come down with the sword and chop guys in half and stuff like that. So it works pretty well, but I mean, a lot of times you can just get away with, you know, it's in the classic style of the series, they'll, you know, you'll walk into a room and, you know, four guys will materialize out of nowhere and attack you, and pretty much you can get away with usually just sitting there and just frantically slashing on the touchscreen, which
and the
you know,
so it's, the I was just gonna say, the only button input is for blocking, is that right? Is there sort of like an any button block or something? I seem to recall somebody.
Yeah, actually, let me remember. Yeah, there is a block, and I think that's like the R button or something like that. Right. Or
clearly, the blocking mechanism has been an integral part of John's playing style.
Well, that's the whole thing. You really don't have to use it because, I mean, the whole thing is just, you know, balls out, like, attacking people and just slashing them to death.
Yeah. But, well, I was going to ask, because, I mean, how's the difficulty? Because I've heard the default set is quite forgiving, considering the legacy of the sort of Ninja Gaiden series.
Yeah. You can. I mean, you can definitely tell. I would hesitate to say that it's been dumbed down, but it's definitely not as difficult. I mean, you can play through it without much difficulty.
I heard that there's a harder version that unlocks when you beat it.
Yeah, I haven't gotten there yet. I haven't played.
And you do have to unlock it, is that right?
Yeah, it's definitely not there from
that's
the beginning.
That's what I heard.
Yeah, it's definitely
right,
not there.
Yeah, but it's kind of a drag. It's kind of with Contra 4.
Is the game actually...
You know, I appreciate the fact that you could start from a harder level with that.
Yeah.
If you chose to. I'd rather have that available at the beginning.
Yeah, the only one that's there, I think, when you choose it is normal.
Right.
That's it.
John, are you finding that the game recognizes your gestures on the screen pretty consistently?
It's actually pretty good. I didn't think it would be as good as it is. I mean, there's certain times when I think jumping is probably the hardest thing because it's the two strokes up, and a lot of times when you do that, it'll think you're swinging your sword or something like that. So it does it pretty well. It's not as bad as some games I've played. But I just find that, you know, probably in terms of that kind of input, Nintendo games are typically the best. But it's up there. It's pretty good. But yeah, overall...
Well, if I ever find my DS, that's one of the games that I want
to
get.
Still MIA, yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, I've looked everywhere.
It's like an ongoing
saga.
Was there a game in it as well?
Not only is there a game... It had Layton in it. But not only that, but it was with my case that I got at E3 like 3 years ago.
That sucks.
So it had like 6 or 7 of my favorite games in the little pocket.
Oh, what a burn.
Oh, man.
Maybe this is part of a big puzzle game. Solve it, Professor Layton. Solve it.
Are you suggesting that Johnny's DS has become part of an alternate reality game?
And I think I would have found it. Maybe I would have had a better chance finding it if I'd realized it was lost a lot earlier. But Layton had kind of been losing my interest, and
damn you, Layton!
There were a couple weeks where I was too busy with other things, and I just wasn't really concerned about playing DS. And then all of a sudden, I start to wonder, like, where did I put that thing anyway? And now I literally cannot find it. I've looked all over the fucking place. Mm-hmm. I'm getting kind of distraught.
Yeah, that reminds me of, like, speaking of, you know, finding, not, you know, having that delay between realizing something is lost. I remember for Christmas one year I got tickets to an NHL hockey game, and inadvertently I pretty much opened up the envelope and said, wow, this is really cool, and put it down, and I guess the tickets got split apart. There were a pair of tickets, and they got split apart, and when I was cleaning up all of the wrapping paper, I inadvertently picked one of them up with the trash and tossed it. Now, of course, it wasn't in the envelope. And so, you know, about a month goes by, the game time comes around, and I'm like, yeah, so where's this other ticket? And that thing was gone, and it had been so long, there was no way I was getting it back. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that kind of sucked, so I feel your pain.
John, are you playing anything on Wii or PS3 or anything like that?
Actually, on 360, they had the map pack come out for Call of Duty 4, and I've been playing that. Actually, it was...
Oh, are you one of the 2 or 3% of gamers who have all three next-gen systems?
Yes, I am, as a matter of fact. I never realized that was so rare. But, yeah, it's like, what is it, 2%?
Rich.
Yeah, rich bitch.
What is it, 2...
I can't even afford a fucking 360, and it's been out for 3 years.
I can't find a damn 360, and it's been out for 3 years.
Well, what can I say? I guess I'm just blessed. But but yeah, I never knew I was such a rare breed. Like what, 2% or something? I find that hard to believe. Just I guess maybe because, you know, a lot of the people I know are, you know, whatever, they're all computer nerds in their 30s who, you know.
Yeah, but you're kind of wired into that community.
Yeah.
I don't find it hard to believe, just because if you think about the cost, hardware alone, without buying anything else, it's going to cost you over $1,000 to own all three systems.
Yeah, in fact,
a lot of money.
Yeah, I mean, a guy I work with, actually, I don't think he had any consoles. Maybe he had a Wii. But, you know, he's like 35, wife and kids, whatever. And you know, one Monday he comes in, he's like, man, I went out and bought a 360. And I'm like, oh, that's cool. And he's like, no, I bought everything. And the guy went out to Best Buy, and he picked up a 360 Elite, Halo.
Ouch.
He picked up a 360 Elite, like three games, like Halo 3 and a couple of other games, like controllers. He bought the wireless adapter. I mean, he bought everything you can pretty much buy for a 360 setup. And he said, yeah, I just walked in there and I dropped like $1,200 and just walked out of the store.
He got reamed out by Microsoft.
Yeah, it was insane.
Gaming is just way too expensive nowadays.
I'm just like, you win my Jumping in the Deep End award because you really did it upright, buddy.
Bravo to that. Well, I mean, I would love to be able to do that. There's a lot of stuff on 360 that I really want to play. And I've kind of been able to scratch a couple itches with my PC because I got that cheap-ass gaming card last fall. So I've been able to play BioShock and Orange Box, and I've had the demo for Call of Duty 4, and I'm kind of thinking about getting it, but at the same time, you know, there's a good chance I'm getting a 360 soon, so I kind of want to wait and get it on that.
Yeah, I mean, you're thinking of getting the PC version of Call of Duty 4?
That's what I was considering, yeah. And it'll run on my system. I mean, the demo looked fine. So,
yeah.
And plus, you know, the service pack, one for Vista, just came out, which pretty much improves game performance across the board.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I read a report on Game Life, and I don't know where they were sourcing this from, but the report said that the average performance increase for Crysis was 30 frames per second better than it ran before the service pack.
God. That's Crysis.
And most other games were a lot less than that, but still there was a pretty general improvement across the board. So I did install the service pack last week. I actually had to go to Microsoft's website and like look for it. Actually, TYP was the one who alerted me that it was out. I didn't realize it was out yet. But for some reason, I didn't get it automatically through Windows Update. And I even went to Windows Update and like told it to refresh and just check for anything new, and it still didn't come up. And I checked and made sure it wasn't already installed. It's definitely not. So like as of right now, as far as I can tell, if you want the service pack, and if you're a gamer, you want the service pack, you have to like go to their website and manually download it and install it. It takes about an hour to install. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, I haven't had time to test it out at all since then.
Yeah.
So
one thing I was thinking about, both the thoughts we just had, the reason that it might just be as low as 2% of people that own all three consoles is that I'm not sure that at the moment the PS3's done enough to substantiate its cost in terms of differentiating itself from the 360.
Yeah, I mean, probably like this Christmas you'll be able to say differently, you know, with Metal Gear Solid 4 and all that. But I mean, right now there's really not enough unique content on the PS3 to really justify buying it alongside a 360, because the 360 can give you, I mean, along with the fact that Xbox Live is much better than Sony's online offering. Not that Sony's online offering is terrible.
It's not nearly as good as Nintendo's online offering, though.
Fairly consistent across the two platforms.
Yeah, I mean, the thing, I mean, Microsoft, they've actually done a good job in the sense that they've, like, Xbox Live was so good on the Xbox that everybody that had an Xbox, you know, really wanted a 360 as soon as it came out, and because of that, everybody that was on Xbox Live, you know, in that first generation is on it this generation, and so with games, I mean, with a lot of these games that are going to be primarily online, I mean, I'll buy it on 360 just because I know so many people on Xbox Live.
Yeah,
a really good retention
rate. The genius of their strategy of basically enforcing, requiring online play in every single game. I mean, it really has developed that kind of community where you might buy a game that you're not even sure that you're going to love, but you'll buy it just because you know a lot of people are going to have it, and you'll have people to play it with. And so there's a certain, to an extent, if you have good people to play with multiplayer, it reduces the importance of the game's quality. Yeah. I mean, you can play a mediocre game with friends, and it's still fun.
Chrome Hounds. Chrome Hounds is a great example of that.
What is?
Chrome Hounds. As a game offline, it's not really that great. It was that Sega Mecha game. As a game offline, it's okay, but it's not, you know, really great. But online against other people, you know, there's customization and things you can do to try to give yourself an edge.
I mean, for me personally, I would put Halo 3 in that category. I don't really like Halo as a franchise. I'm not really a big fan of the game. I think that there's better...
It is fun to play with other
people. That's exactly it. And, I mean, every time I put Halo 3 in, it's pretty much guaranteed there's going to be three or four people online playing Halo 3 that I can hop into. And you really can't beat that.
Right. Yeah.
Well, speaking of PC games, I'll jump into my new business. I guess I've kind of already inserted a little bit with the whole DS sob story. But let's see. This week, I finally got the Magic Online Version 3 beta.
Ooh, boy, here
nice.
We go.
Yeah, I know. So they're revamping the interface and the store and the server code, the online code, so that it runs faster. And it's just in beta right now. They were supposed to launch it like back in the fall, and they keep pushing it back
because nice.
they run into all these crippling bugs. But I've had the client for like a month now, and every time I try to log in, I get turned away. But I finally got logged in this week and got to play it for about an hour and played a couple games. I did a draft tournament, and it's looking pretty good. I'm excited. I also applied to be a beta tester for the new set that they just announced because it sounds way better than the last couple sets that they've done, and I'm actually really looking forward to it. And I don't know if I'll get picked for that, but I'm hoping the fact that I was a beta tester for the original Magic Online, like back in 2001, will kind of help me. So we'll see. Even though I'm not a heavy user, you guys remember my plan of selling all my old paper cards so I could get money to buy online cards.
Yep.
Well, I got halfway through that plan, and then I never finished it, so I sold all the like really valuable rares and things like that. That was a set of like, I don't know, 40 or 50 cards, you know, and it went for like $70. I was really happy. Actually, I probably mentioned this before, but the winner of that auction is a listener of the show.
That's cool.
And yeah, he's actually kind of involved in the gaming industry also, but I probably shouldn't say anything more than that. I don't want to violate his anonymity. But anyway... the rest of my cards, sort of like, you know, the rest of the crap, is still sitting on top of my refrigerator in a big box that's like 2,000 cards, and none of them on their own is worth more than probably like 10 cents, and a lot of them are worth more like 1 cent, but I'm kind of hoping I can sell the whole lot all at once on eBay and get a fairly decent price for it, and I can use that to buy cards from the new set when it comes out. So I'm going to be putting that up. Maybe tonight or tomorrow, and I'll try to include a link. And I hate to shill my eBay auctions on the podcast, but I mean, it kind of worked last time. Yeah. So,
just make sure you don't say the entire URL.
I'd be stupid not to do it again.
My URL is cgi.ebay.com.xxw, capital B. You know the crazy URLs they always have?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, we'll put a link in the article.
We'll just put a link in the article.
Oh,
that's okay. I'll shill
will.
It. Don't worry about it. Totally cool.
Oh, yeah.
No, that's what I did last time. I put a link in the article and I sold it. So. Fuck you, man.
It's just good.
I'm doing it.
I know,
again.
Man. It's just good journalism. I know.
I gotta get my money for journalism. This show has nothing to do with journalism. Okay,
Johnny. I mean, don't.
We're commentating. This is news analysis. Yeah. It's not even analysis. It's just like analysis.
It's just bullshitting.
It's just news bitching.
Don't lie. But yeah, see,
it's analysis with emphasis on the anal part of that word.
The thing is, Johnny, I think you're just trying to be that 2% of console owners. I think you want all three.
I would love to buy all three. I'm not spending the money on that. That's earmarked.
Does the 2% actually include the people that have PS3 just as a Blu-ray player?
I'm sure it does.
But you know, really, if you actually isolated the 2% down into people that regularly use their consoles, is what I mean.
Oh god,
would it in fact be
you get like TYP?
Yeah,
TYP's exactly. Mainly using it as a PS2, right?
Honestly,
yeah, I mean, would that?
I gave him Okami to borrow.
I thought
we're kind of hearing things about the Wii version that don't sound all that appetizing. So it looks like the PS2 version may actually be the better of the
For
two.
For what? Which game?
For Okami.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's interesting you should say it, because I read, it goes back to a previous episode where he was talking about Nintendo Power, and like their objectivity or whatever. It's like in the Nintendo Power review of Okami, it actually says, buy the PS2 version instead.
Basically. Oh my god.
Oh my god.
Damn.
That's brutal.
I'm pretty sure that's right. I'm pretty sure I've read that quote, and I think I'm attributing
that's,
it correctly.
That's so unbelievable. That's,
things have changed.
That's, I mean, that's not what you hear from the guys over at IGN and all about the paintbrush mechanics and all the rest of it, but that's quite telling in a number of ways, isn't it?
That really sucks.
Yeah,
that's
it is. And actually, I think the guys at 1UP kind of also recommended.
Yeah, they did mention something similar. Yeah, the sentiment at 1UP was much closer to that than to the IGN sort of viewpoint from all accounts.
Yeah.
Whew. Well, then.
That sucks. What are they saying about it?
Well, I didn't get to read all the specifics with Nintendo Power, but I mean, it was very much just like that 1UP literally contradicted IGN in terms of they seemed to think that using the Wii Remote actually made everything slower, whereas IGN specifically said that it made things quicker, so that the game was at a slow pace. So, I mean,
Is it possible they're playing different builds of the game?
It is, but I think to clarify, 1UP didn't say it makes the game slower. What they said was, even though you can draw things on the screen faster with the Wii Remote, it's harder to do a straight line, basically, consistent circle. And because of that, it's still very picky about the way you draw things. And that was true in the PS2 game as well. But because you're more likely to make random errors just from jitteriness in your hand as you draw this thing, I mean, I think we've seen from quite a few games that it's kind of hard to write on the screen with a Wii Remote. It doesn't really work like a stylus. It's
and
very
not just
hard
your
to
hand.
Write things. And this is kind of a writing game. You're kind of creating fairly intricate symbols. I mean, they're not really complicated, but they do need to be straight. It matters what direction they are, how long they are. It matters that you can draw a circle and close it, because if you don't close it, it doesn't count.
Right.
So I think what 1UP was saying is that it's because it's harder to make it recognize those things and actually count them, you end up having to do a lot of them over again, and you end up having to draw the same thing two or three times before it'll recognize it. And that makes the battles take longer, even though you can draw it. Technically, you're drawing faster.
Yeah, so it does slow the game down overall in terms of just, like, because you have to start over a bunch of times.
Ugh.
That's, well, anyway, so I gave that good. for TYP to borrow. His PS2 playing habits on PS3 have been pretty interesting to follow, because he never had a PS2. So once he got the PS3, he's like, well, he mainly got it as a Blu-ray player.
Yeah.
And no, actually he did not, because he doesn't even have an HDTV.
Okay.
So I'm not even sure why he got it. Maybe he must have found a good deal on it, like right when they were clearing out the 60 gig models with full backwards compatibility. Yeah. So I think he kind of looked at it as getting a movie player and two video game systems in one, because he never had a PS2.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, he's mainly used it for PS2 games, and I know he caught up on Dragon Quest VIII, which is like one of my favorite games ever, and Shadow of the Colossus, which he really enjoyed, and one or two other ones that I don't recall for sure. But so I was like, hey man, you should play Okami, because it's good shit. Really
it's
good.
It's funny, because I actually sent TYP... an invite, and it pretty much just sat there untouched for about a month, and then I just blew it away. Because I figure he'll never be online with his PS3.
He did say last week the only time he turns it on is to update the thing.
Yeah.
And did he say he left it on for like a month
that's
by
the
accident
kind of
or something?
The shocking thing, though, isn't it, is that the 2% may actually overstate the number of people that are really sort of, you know, participating in the sort of PS3 current scene.
You know, that's true, but Greg, keep in mind there are a lot of Sony fanboys who only have a PS3.
Oh yeah, sure.
Yeah.
So they're not included in the 2%, and they 2%... probably are playing MotorStorm and talking about how it's the greatest thing since Gran Turismo.
But it's it tells you something about, you know, if you've got the fanboys, as they put it, you know, the real zealots group, you know, they're kind of, you know, your easy targets. It says something about how compelling the PS3 has been or not, that it's failed to bring in people a bit further afield from that.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's true, but it also says something about, you know, part of that 2% is people who got a PS3 and they haven't been convinced to get a 360 after that.
Or a Wii.
But I think it's not so much an indictment of the PS3 itself, it's an indictment of the fact that those two systems are very, very similar.
They overlap,
and it's
probably
kind of hard to justify buying both.
Yeah.
because there's so much overlap in what they do and the games that they play. So that's the problem, and the Wii doesn't have that issue, for better or worse. For better and worse.
Yeah.
It doesn't have that issue, so...
I mean, it just...
That's
I mean,
the
it just gets
that,
poor
that
ports of everything.
Yeah, it gets crappy ports of
no overlap
PS2
there.
Games and downgrades of 360
Even
games.
Okami, a beautiful game. Yeah, I mean, I don't want to naysay on that port, but it sounds like it was kind of rushed through. I mean, even the developers have come out and said publicly, we didn't have much time or much money to make this. Yeah.
But the game's not even out yet, is it?
I know it's not. It comes out in later in April, I think.
Yeah, it's this
maybe
month,
in May.
I think, or it was scheduled for anyway.
Certainly, if you do not have access to a PS2, friggin' go get it, you know. I'm sure whatever the complaints are pretty minor. They're just points of comparison.
Well, we'll see. But I mean,
sounds like if you do have a PS2 or a backwards compatible PS3, you probably want to go with the original copy, if you can find one.
I would say hold off, because there have been some ports of games in the past that have completely effed up a great game.
Mm-hmm. What do you mean hold off?
We'll just wait until the reviews come out for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Because, I mean, I've seen some ports of great games that just turned them into utter garbage.
I mean...
Yeah, well, James, you can't actually buy the game until the reviews come out.
Not our reviews. You can buy the games long before our reviews come out.
Definitely.
Well, okay. Fair enough. John, what do you have to say about that?
Well, I mean, just the PS3 in general, I mean, my opinion, I have definitely been... Oh, nothing.
You totally missed my joke.
See, the thing is, it's so...
I was referring to the fact that our reviews are
always
late.
You have to understand
really
it's so commonplace now that I just kind of... it doesn't even faze me anymore. I'm just like, yeah, I take 5 months to review a game.
You got it, but you chose to ignore it.
It stings. It just stings.
I
mean,
oh, God. Okay, I guess technically we're still on My New Business, so let me hurry through this. I didn't play much Wii this week, but I was over at my friend Kevin's house the other night. We had several people there. We ended up playing Wii Sports for about half an hour, and I haven't played Wii Sports in... It must have been almost a year. I mean, I really cannot remember the last time I played Wii Sports. So it was sort of a treat to just kind of get back into it and see people play it. I think... Everyone there had played it at least once before, but most of them weren't very familiar, and honestly, I had kind of forgotten a lot about how the things work. You know, a lot of the subtleties of the way the controls work. So it was kind of neat to get back into it, although I did kind of get bored with it pretty quickly. Like, to me, the bowling, it's the thing that everybody wants to do, but it takes a little too long to play through 10 frames.
Yeah.
I wish there was, like, an option for 5 frames.
Yeah.
But... And, you know, tennis a lot of times is almost too short. At least I think so. I mean, it seems like my tennis games are all, even if we do like best of 5, it's over in less than 5 minutes. But then I give it to a couple of my friends, and they're playing best of 3, and they played for like 15 minutes on that one match. So it really just depends, I guess. That was cool. And then Kevin and I wanted to show the other people there a couple other games. So we broke out Trauma Center New Blood and played a couple of operations in co-op. And that was really fun. Again, it had been months since either one of us played the game, so we were a little rusty on some of the procedures and stuff. But that was kind of fun. And, you know, the people who were observing us, they didn't seem terribly impressed with the way the surgeries worked, or they weren't grossed out or anything like that. The most interesting part to them were the dramatic intros to the missions and the voice acting of the characters. They were like fascinated. Kevin and I were like kind of wanted to scroll through it really fast just to get to the gameplay. And the people who were watching is like wanted to watch it. You know, they really wanted to see the story play out. That was kind of cool. And then I saw Kevin has Puzzle Quest for Wii. He also has it for DS. TYP actually gave him his extra copy. Well, TYP had a copy and he decided he didn't like it. So he's like, here, do you want this? And I was like, yeah, I'll take it. And I gave it to Kevin because I already had a copy. Although that copy is currently missing. So anyway, so Kevin has it on 2 different platforms, and he's played it quite a bit. And I'd never played the Wii version. So I said, hey, Kevin, why don't we play a multiplayer match on Puzzle Quest? Because we had some girls who were watching us play, and they were familiar with Bejeweled, and I thought they might find it kind of interesting. And at first they did. They were like, oh, this is really cool. I like this game. But the match that Kevin and I played, and we were like level 6, so we didn't have a whole lot of very interesting spells or anything like that at our disposal. But this game went on for like 20, 25 minutes.
God.
And it must have been mind-numbing to watch from the outside. I mean, we would spend 30 seconds just staring at the screen looking for patterns, you know, and it's not very much to look at in the first place. It's not really a visually appealing game. So this went on forever, and the girls were literally asleep by the time we finished. They were just sleeping, and we had to wake them up when we finished. But I have to say, this being the first time I'd seen the Wii version, it really is a piece of crap.
Yeah, that did not get favorable reviews, did it?
No, and it doesn't deserve favorable reviews. I mean, the core game is still genius. You know, Puzzle Quest, I friggin' love. But the Wii version is really assy. I mean,
nice.
The text is so blurry that you literally cannot read what the words on the screen say. And that's important if you, for instance, don't know what the spells do and you go over there to check the explanation and you still can't tell what the spells do because you can't friggin' read the text.
Why? Why is the text so damn blurry?
What, James?
Why is the text so damn blurry?
Yeah, but it's just like straight port, and they didn't adjust the resolution.
They straight port from the DS. Is that what you're telling me?
Well, more likely the PS2 version, or you know what? Actually, I think it's probably more from the Xbox Live Arcade version.
That would explain the blurriness because they'd be coming down from an HD to an SD.
That would be brutal.
Oh, I don't know, dude. It is a mess. I mean,
it's
like it's so blurry that it kind of hurt my eyes to look at it. Really.
It burns us.
It's fucked up, man. Yes. And the control interface is awful. Like, you have to have the nunchuck plugged in, even though the only thing you use the nunchuck to do is push C or Z to move the cursor over to the sides of the screen so you can read the spells. Yes. You're not actually using the joystick or the accelerometer in the nunchuck. You're using the friggin' button. Meanwhile, there's plenty of buttons on the Wii Remote that go unused. So why do you need the nunchuck plug in to do this? It's retarded.
Dumb.
Dude, to sell more nunchucks, obviously.
Oh, and the music is still buggy as hell. I mean, the music is buggy in the DS version. You know, like a song will play for about 3 minutes, and then it just stops abruptly and a new song starts. Or sometimes they'll just stop, period, and then you'll just have no music for like 30 seconds.
It's for effect, man.
And
it's
eerie. Even like 6 months later and like 5 other versions later, they still haven't fixed that on the Wii version. So the music is distractingly badly done. I mean, the actual quality of the music is okay. It's sort of fitting to the theme and everything, but just the way it's implemented and the way it switches between songs and everything is really distracting and bad. It just the whole thing just comes off as like a really cheaply done port. It's too bad. So there's my Wii stuff. I have no DS stuff. I cover my PC. Yeah, that's about it. All right, James, you're next.
Well, I spent most of the week taking some time off after I marathoned through Bully because I basically pushed my gaming capacity to the limit by by pouring about 18 hours into Bully in about 4 days. So I took about half the week off before I went back to Brawl. And my long-suffering, one-month-long, how-long-will-it-take-to-add-someone-to-my-friends-list is finally over. Out of the 12 staffers I have on my friends list, I now have 2 confirmed.
Nice.
Who are they?
John and Greg.
Yes!
Have you confirmed.
Oh,
I checked today. Oh, God.
This is just sad.
Yeah. Oh, I must have gotten really burned out on Brawl, because I haven't played it since TYP left, and that was a week ago.
Yeah, I hadn't played it in about a week and a half at that point, because I had, you know, I had gone through Bully, and I had gone through some other stuff I had lying around, and, you know, I went back and did some challenges and things, and, God, those challenges are really obnoxious.
Yeah.
Play 15 on Shadow Moses Island.
Well,
no. Say what?
I know the one you're on about. I haven't done that yet. But, I mean, the way I look at
the
it
ones
is
that
like, because I played Melee for 6 years. It's like, I've got 6 years to do this stuff. Isn't that right? I don't care how obnoxious they are.
That's a very healthy approach.
You know? Yeah, see, I'm going through them because I want to see the ones that are, you know, just beyond them and see what they are so I can maybe do them. But no, I have to go set up a 1 KO match with 300% damage on the F-Zero stage with King DDD and like Kirby, just so I can finish the match in like 8 seconds.
Yeah, but you know, if you set that up right, you can kind of be working on two or three challenges at the same time.
Yeah, but I burned through a lot of the challenges that I could work on that weren't ones with like stages or just KOs and stuff. Mm-hmm. So I'm sort of sitting on these play out 10 on this stage, 15 on this stage.
You know, if you actually play that with other people, unfortunately, the online matches don't count. Yeah.
They, what?
But
what?
If you actually play that with people in, you know, on the same Wii, the idea is that those are supposed to kind of open up naturally as you play. Yeah. You know, if like if you're using random select or whatever.
Yeah, but that's...
You're not really meant to grind through them like that. What pisses me off are the challenges that you are meant to grind through, like beat All-Star on hard with every character.
Yeah,
That shit is never getting done.
And that's why I bring
up
the 6 years,
because
like it's probably going to take me 6 years to ever want to do it with every character. You know, just like, once a month, like for 3 years, I'll do one character on one mode or something.
Yeah, that's the very definition of grinding. Yeah,
boss exactly. I mean,
it's boss
just battles
like, why would
is
anybody
grinding.
Want to do that? You
yeah,
know, like,
I agree.
Complete
there
all...
are characters that I really don't want to be playing through the entire mode with.
Target
because
Smash.
I don't like them.
The complete all 5 levels of Target Smash with all 5 characters. Or with all 30 characters. Yeah, that's a lot of fun.
Yeah. And that'll only take you like 20 hours of boredom.
I actually went through level 1 Target Smash with everybody just because I found that level 1 Target Smash is really good for practicing your air fighting in. Like mid-air combos.
Yeah.
It took me about half hour to burn through everybody, but that's because I was getting it in like 17 seconds. And then I started level 3 just to skip by 2. And since my best character took 30 seconds, 40 seconds, I'm like, I'm not going to do this right now. I don't have time for this crap.
Yeah, my favorite challenge moment so far with Brawl was, it was one where it's like, do Target Smash 2 or 3 in under 19 seconds. And I'm really crap at those. But I was really trying and just getting really close and not quite getting it. And then I finally did it, and it's like, you've unlocked a CD from Excite Truck. Oh.
Is there really a CD from Excite Truck?
Yeah, that's totally true.
Is there really? I have to get this. Dude.
And the funny thing is like, this is the one bit of music from Nintendo that I've never heard, even though I own the game. It was literally the quickest turnaround from yes to from the moment I finally smashed the last target to because I knew it was a CD because you
oh this is like the picture of IGN
yeah
the
reaction
the
guys
press
thing,
conference
yeah.
So they're like yeah
but that took a year that took a year this took like a microsecond because the worst thing was it's like you could tell it was a CD because you could see like the silhouette of what it is. And of course, I'm really psyched to get all the CDs. That's one of the things I want to get the most. And then it's fucking Excite Truck.
Yeah. You know, did you even listen to it?
Not really, though. I'm kind of like, I've gone through playing the entire game without hearing the music. This is no time to start.
Well, you know,
Excite Truck's music is hilarious. You have to listen to it at least once just to appreciate how awful
the funniest thing of that game is that its claim to fame is the fact that you can actually remove its soundtrack. I think that's what I think is great about it.
Exactly. Fucking brilliant.
You know what?
It's not a claim to fame, it's a saving grace.
I hope our review gave it an extra point in the sound category for that. It'd be like they reviewed it once without using custom soundtrack and then once with, and they're like 4/5 removed the god awful music. Mm-hmm. But you know,
no, I definitely made note of it.
But you know, when I was playing,
I mean, I gave it a terrible score for music because the music is god awful. Yeah.
But I certainly noted that
you can use your own music. Although the interface for using your own music is really bad.
No, great.
Well,
you have to like
to
manually
expected.
Load up. You have to manually select every song. You can't just like queue up a playlist.
You can't do playlists.
And
you
thought
it would
be better by now.
Playlist.
And you probably thought at the time, oh, this will be better in the next couple of years. Nope, that's
no,
the highlight
that
of music
was
you
the apex
Wii.
Of customization.
Yeah, that's custom soundtracks on the Wii. Actually, you know, this whole business of like Reggie teasing that at E3 this year they're finally going to announce like what their big holiday game is. My vote is for Excite Truck 2.
Oh, God help
I'm
us
not
all.
Even joking, man. No, I would love that shit. Fix the soundtrack, fix the custom soundtrack, add 4-player offline and online play, a couple more controller options,
and a bunch
create
more
a stage, stuff like that. Dude, I would eat that.
The interesting thing is, though, Reggie's like saying that basically they're going to show the whole second half at E3. And, of course, there's which isn't just, obviously, the holiday season.
By the way, E3 takes place in the second
exactly,
half.
Exactly. Yeah, so they're literally going to get up there and kind of do what they did with, like, Star Fox Command a few years ago and go, this is a game you've never heard of. It's coming out in 3 weeks.
Yeah,
I mean, that, who knows, maybe Excite Truck 2 could be that game, you know, or something like that.
Or they could pull a Saturn where they say, oh, yeah, it's in Toys R Us today.
Yeah, that is hilarious.
The thing is, that's something I've kind of always wondered, like, what is Nintendo, not even just in the second half, but, I mean, with the Wii, you know, overall, what are they going to do now? I mean, they've released games in practically every single huge franchise. I don't know what else they're going to do.
They need a new franchise.
The really interesting point, though, is that, you know, look at a lot of these games, and they're firmly rooted in a time where people didn't even know what the, you know, within Nintendo weren't entirely sure of what the Wii was going to be and how successful it was going to be. I mean, Mario Galaxy kind of predates the Wii's sort of features. Obviously, Twilight Princess is a GameCube game. Metroid Prime 3 is obviously firmly rooted in Metroid Prime. And so forth, and Smash Brothers, of course, is may as well not be on the Wii at all. So now we're to this point where, okay, so we're talking about games that have been developed where they know what the Wii is, they know it's a success. What are they going to be like?
Yeah,
I mean, are they going to be
some gimmicky bullshit?
Are they going to be super casual, or they? You know, that's the thing. I mean, they haven't announced anything, and we really are in the dark. I mean, it's kind of worrying.
Yeah, we had that question a few weeks ago, actually. Are they going to go and pull, like, a Phantom Hourglass on us now?
I don't know.
Well, I think it'll be a mixture of that. Obviously, I have no reason to question the fact that they're going to release more of the stuff like Wii Sports, Wii Play, Wii Fit, Wii Music. Wii Music probably will come out later this year.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, they've been showing
are new franchises. Those are new series that they're creating, and that eventually they'll be able to iterate upon. I mean, they could certainly make a Wii Sports 2 and dump that out in November. I don't necessarily think they're gonna, but they could, and they'd sell 5 billion copies of it. But, you know, it's not fair to say that they haven't done anything new on the Wii. I mean, these are all new series, and they're legitimate. They're just not what the core gamers want.
Well, you know, I think that
and,
gets...
And what the question, the conundrum here is really related to the core gamers, because those traditional franchises are the ones that have been kind of done now. And, I think partly they'll be returning to Zelda, not this year, but maybe next year. They'll return to Zelda with a Wii exclusive version that's much more geared towards the Wii hardware, and you know, they'll probably bring back Pilot Wings or Kid Icarus or something like that. But aside from that, you know, Sakurai said on the Smash Dojo about Pikmin, it's like, you know, if you look at the timeline of all the series that are in Brawl, Pikmin, there's nothing 6 years before that. Before Pikmin, there's nothing new. 6 years after that, there's nothing new.
Yeah, the last new thing before Pikmin was what, Pokemon?
Yeah, 96 in Japan, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, that's so, it. That's where you go
and
to.
And after Pikmin, I guess you could kind of count Nintendogs, but that's not really a character specific.
No,
Sakurai did specify
Nintendo's
character
known for creating these character things, and in 13 years they made one. Whereas if you go back and look at the 80s, they created like 30 in the span of 5 years.
Well, you know, I'm sure the thought that's going through some people's heads when they hear this is going to be, well, this corresponds with Miyamoto taking his hands off the realm, but he didn't create a lot of those characters. He created, what, two of them? He created the Zelda franchise and the Mario franchise.
No. I mean, Miyamoto was heavily involved with Donkey. He created Donkey Kong.
True.
He basically designed Pikmin, or he came up with the original concept for Pikmin.
Well, I mean, back in the 80s.
Back in the 80s. Well, yeah, sure.
And I mean, Donkey Kong didn't become a freestanding franchise beyond the arcade game until Rare got a hold of it. And
right.
So I think there is maybe a talent gap there right now, because you have Sakurai, who created what, two sets of characters in the 90s. You have Yokoi, who created the Metroid engine that also became the Kid Icarus engine.
I kind of disagree, James. I don't think it's a talent gap. I think it's a matter of the corporate policy.
Yeah.
It's not that hard to create new characters. Look at the Mega Man series.
No.
They churn them out by
the dozen. Not look at the Mega Man
and
series.
They're not good characters. They're not interesting characters, but they could be, you know. It's not an issue of not creating new types of games, because Nintendo's been doing that consistently for throughout. You know, they're making new kinds of games. They're adding
but they like to attach.
So they're not creating new characters to go with and, those new games. They're using old characters with new games. And Pikmin is unique in modern history in that they created a new kind of game and apparently decided that they couldn't really shoehorn one of their old characters in there, so they had to create something new.
But I mean, you look at something like WarioWare and Donkey Kong Jungle Beat. I mean, there's no reason why it has to be Wario and Donkey Kong in those games, really.
Right. Only Donkey Kong knows how to operate drums in the Nintendo universe.
So they thought those properties could make it work and maybe make it sell better. Obviously, Jungle Beat didn't really sell that well at all. But they've got this well that they've built up of properties and characters and things, there isn't the imperative to create more. I mean, in the 80s, there was an imperative to create characters, obviously. So it's a necessity issue. But, I mean, you might think that the Wii sort of environment may create more of an imperative because there'll be more games like Pikmin in terms of they're so far removed from other games that maybe you have to create something new. But I don't know, we haven't, like I said, because we've all kind of still been on kind of GameCube Plus era sort of so far, we're not into that space yet, so that's why it's really going to be interesting what they do unveil and how much of it is new IPs.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's going to be a big first-person shooter coming out. I think so. I think so.
I kind of agree.
I think that's a huge gap that they've right not the filled. I mean, it goes back to sort of the Chris Kohler's point, and many people made the point, with GoldenEye on the N64 in terms of, you know, what a huge hit that was, and, you know, people basically owned the N64 just for Bond and all the rest of it, and they never really, and they sort of fathered the console FPS, but they didn't capitalize on that at all. And I think you've got a similar gap now with the Wii in terms of with the controls. You could do so much for the genre and stuff.
Well, they've proven that.
John,
I think
if you
look at Corruption in terms of like being kind of a trailblazer for those kind of controls, unfortunately, I don't think any other company has really followed up yet.
Well, you hear good things about...
I kind of heard Medal of Honor was pretty good.
There's that time gap you have to get where the company gets a hold of these games and they're like, wow, this is really cool, we should do this. And
right.
When they actually develop the game.
Let me just throw this out there. Nobody really knows what Retro is doing right now. And they have that really nice Metroid Prime Corruption engine that they probably want to reuse for something. And they have the best first-person shooter controls on the console.
I would be surprised if they went and did something completely different because they're tired of making games in that vein. Like they wanted to go and do something else. Because remember, what they were originally bought while they were doing was they were making that racing game, that that racing combat game in the vein of Twisted Metal.
Guns on the cars or whatever.
I know a lot of people like to bring up those old tech demos that they did, but those things were really early on. That was a long time ago, and I think a lot of the people who were working on that stuff were fired not long after that.
Oh, no, I'm not saying...
I think the Retro of today is almost completely different company.
Oh, no, I'm not...
Including the personnel.
I'm not saying they're going to revive those things. I'm just saying that they might, you know, they might want to do something different.
Sure, but if they made a straight up action shooter, that would be quite different from Metroid Prime. Yeah.
Maybe, but
that would be a pretty big change.
I think
of pace,
there will
even,
be
and, even if they
yeah, I mean
the
they,
same
they
engine.
Just stick right, in look, new look, art look, assets and boom, you have a first person shooter right there.
And you've got to ask yourself.
Ooh. Yeah, I hope it, if they do have one, I hope it's codenamed Hola.
To point out right now, I think there
HOLA.
There will be a big first person shooter. But I think it's going to be Red Steel 2.
Oh,
that game's been in
development
for a while.
Yeah, I think that will come out this year.
And I think that's what Nintendo's going to have.
Isn't that in development hell, like, by some accounts, because they've already changed
it deserves to be in development hell.
Something. It sounds really bad.
Greg, the first one sold like 2 or 3 million.
Yeah,
copies.
It's coming.
Yeah,
it's coming.
But could,
no
yeah, but it, this could be
sequel.
Like,
this
could be,
okay.
But to be fair, the second one could end up being like Feel the Magic. Sort of in terms of, you know, Feel the Magic.
It could be, or it could be Tom Clancy's Red Steel 2.
Oh, God, no.
No, it really could be now.
I know, really but be. I don't want to think about that. By the way, if only I had recorded me playing Red Steel 2, the string of profanities that came out about how stupid the AI was would have just been epic. I swear, there was an incident where the AI were running from me while I had a pistol and they had machine guns, and then they ducked into a room full of explosives and just started unloading their guns.
Wow.
They killed themselves before I even turned the corner.
Lately, I've been really thinking that I need to, like, go to Blockbuster and start catching up on some Wii games that I missed, and I think I might have to make Red Steel part of that.
You will be.
It just sounds so funny.
You will be befuddled by how dumb the AI is sometimes. But see, I think one of the problems with first-person shooters on the Wii is that the control does work really well, and you either have to make the enemies super powerful, and they did some of that in Metroid Prime 3, or you have to make really, really good AI. And if you're setting a first person shooter in, you know, with humans, you can't get away with making them but so super powerful. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you're doing it on you know, like in Metroid Prime 3, you can say, oh well, they're space pirates, they can do that because they make science.
Yeah, and they certainly didn't make the AI very good.
Yeah, they stood
in
there and took most of the time.
It's kind of crap.
They stood there and
they
unloaded on
you. Mainly stand there and shoot at you.
Hey,
James. Last time I heard, we were doing new business. So
were we?
Do you have? I know it's hard to believe. Do you have anything else that you've been playing?
I forgot.
Other than Brawl,
I forgot what we were talking about. So I guess not.
We were talking about Brawl.
Oh yeah.
Into this crazy philosophical thing.
Yeah, I think the point I was going to make with Brawl was I was doing what Greg was doing, and I was trying to unlock the music, and that's the ones you have to brawl on those stages like 30 times to get the music for it.
Yeah.
And God help me if I ever get Excitetrack music, I'm just going to turn the game off.
If,
and just
if you
walk
see
away.
A challenge that says Target Smash 2, 19 seconds, don't do it. Don't do it.
I'm going to go find that one today.
What have I
today, if we ever finish,
you should be able to like put your own MP3 of choice in there as the trophy.
Yeah, that's customizable soundtracks.
I like that idea.
Oh, yeah. God. That'd be like Sakurai just giving a big middle finger to the developers over at Monster Games.
Yeah. All right. Well, maybe he should. But, Greg, you're going to close us out with new business.
Yeah, so I've been getting done with a couple of review games. I finished up the review for Pinball Hall of Fame Williams Collection, which is up on site now. I gave it an 8.5. A very good game. I mean, I'm a big...
Damn.
I'm a pretty big pinball guy. I'm a pretty big high score guy, as you might have gathered from the Geometry Wars gas over the several episodes. But
are you recommending this to fans of Geometry Wars?
Not necessarily, because it's a completely different game in most ways, obviously. But the high score, you know, some people may not see the appeal of a high score game at all.
Does it have leaderboards? Like
no, see that.
Have you read the review?
Drawback.
He killed it for that.
Yeah. No, I haven't, but, I just was going to say, like, Galaxies doesn't really have...
Yeah, we've discussed... I mean,
it has leaderboards that are supposedly online.
But. Yeah, we've discussed that and the brilliant sort of mysterious three-way tie that just happens to have developed at the top of...
Oh, it became a three-way tie?
which
it was
sure
only a two-way tie.
Is not
tie.
At all symptomatic of them being broken.
when did the third person jump into this tie?
Yeah, there's a third person with the same number.
I wonder if they flip the game and that's just the maximum possible.
Well, I have no idea. It just that's pretty bizarre. But yeah, I mean, it would have been nice for Pinball Hall of Fame to have non-crappy leaderboards online, but it doesn't even have those. It has no online leaderboards, which is a shame. That definitely limits it. But you know, I've said on this podcast before, I've played Yoshi Touch and Go and Metroid Prime Pinball with no contextualization for how good those scores were at all. So if you're that kind of person, you know, or you've got other people that will play it and you're just sort of competing with a friend or a family member or something like that, it still can be pretty compelling. I mean, ultimately, you either kind of get the appeal of pinball or you don't. And if you do, this is a really good package, apart from it doesn't have online leaderboards. And I would have liked custom soundtracks in that, actually, as well. Because it has an option to kind of... Obviously, the authentic sound effects are kind of part of the appeal of it. In terms of, you know, but what you can do is you can mix it in with music. But the music's like mostly sort of faux 80s dross. And
that seems appropriate.
That will wear on over time as well. So custom soundtracks would have been appreciated again. But in general, it's a really good game. I think you could probably find it pretty cheap in the US. I think $30 max. and I've heard reports on the forums and stuff of people getting it for $20 and stuff. So I mean, as a value proposition, it's pretty good. Mm-hmm. Another review I'm getting to is for a sort of British developed DS game, which is called Hurry Up Hedgehog.
You already sound really frightened.
Yeah, like it's basically a board game on DS, a sort of flash game recreation of a board game on DS, and it really...
Oh my god.
There's not really any compelling reason why it would be on DS, and it's not a lot of fun, and it's not going to be a lot of fun writing a review.
I remember when that press release was in our inboxes, and I'm just looking at it going, what the hell is this?
Yeah.
I thought maybe it was like...
Imagine that sensation, but when it's a review copy arriving at your house.
So you need to go pick up...
But the irony is that it's probably the one hedgehog game. It's probably better than most Sega hedgehog games, so...
You're gonna... Bazing. You are...
When you open it up, is there a smell? Because every bad game I've gotten so far, when I opened it, there was a very pungent odor that came out.
The paint thinner or whatever. No.
Yes. The paint thinner and the herpes medicine from Miami Night.
That one, I can tell that one scarred you for life. Miami Nights just...
That game made me
it took you. It took you away in the night.
I loaned Miami that Nights. Game to somebody, and he you gave it back to me in 3.5 minutes.
Wow, that's nice. Terrible. So, yeah, that's what I'm going to be doing at the start of this week. Hopefully I'll get that out of the way, because, of course, this is Mario Kart launch week in Europe and Japan.
Oh, that's right.
For that matter. Well, it got off to a bad start because immediately, as I've discovered, a lot of people have... So there must be some sort of shortage of copies being shipped to the Europe or the UK specifically, a bunch of people, including people on our own forums, have had their online pre-orders cancelled, essentially, because they're not going to be getting enough units in ship on day one. And I am one of those people, so...
Oh, dude.
But I am...
Pre-orders. Yeah. Make sure you get a copy, unless you don't.
Exactly. It's like, we may get fewer copies in than we thought, then you're screwed. So that's kind of what's happened with that. So I'm going to have to try and pursue whatever opportunities I have to get a copy as quickly as possible, maybe get some impressions and then a review up in a timely fashion.
So what exactly is the point of a pre-order if it doesn't...
Precisely.
I
mean, I'm not...
I
mean, the thing is, I've often had quite a lax sort of attitude towards pre-ordering, but in this case, even though I'm not that psyched for the game, I thought, well, for the purposes of the site, I at least should have it on standby, on pre-order, you know, and you're not obligated to buy it if you cancel it within a certain window anyway. So I had it pre-ordered way, way in advance. Yeah, I'm sure there are people that are getting, you know, that pre-ordered far earlier than me that probably feel hard done by as well. But, you know, so that was pretty disappointing in itself.
Pre-ordered.
You know, so kind of the point, from the retailer's point of view, one of the reasons that they advocate pre-ordering games is that it helps them allocate stock. So it helps them determine how many copies should be sent to the store. So
I don't know whether
it's
just Nintendo dropping a pile of shit in their lap from the point of view that they've basically said they were going to ship so many units to them and then said, actually, you know, either Europe's getting 75% of what we thought we were going to give it, and then that means that you're out of luck. Or so. I wonder how they determine
which people would have their pre-order dropped. Like, was it random, or is it done chronologically?
I would think it'd done chronologically.
Was it done like, this guy has a big head, we don't like this shirt on this one.
Only fair way.
You know, this one has an ugly sister.
In all fairness to the games retailers who had to cancel pre-orders, this is Nintendo of Europe we're talking about.
Yeah, and I mean, this, and also, they're in uncharted territory here. It's like, oh, we're handling a release like a day after Japan and before the US. I mean, they must be like...
Yeah, so they shit on themselves and fuck
up
everything.
Up is down, they're down is up. You know, it's all just crazy.
Speaking of which, what week are we on for your brawl?
Yeah,
countdown?
I was gonna say. I was gonna say I failed to mention this last week. This is week 5.
Week 5.
And of course, there you'll notice the fact that
he's getting really hungry.
You'll notice
now.
The fact that this is week 5 without a release date, whereas the wait between Mario Kart in the US and Mario Kart here is 2.5 weeks. So we've already doubled the wait for a release date in the gap between America. So you could see how that trade-off works out.
Well, just think, if you would have had it the first day it was released here in the U.S., you would still have people on your friends list that haven't been added to it. So, you know, it's just like having the game.
I got it 3 days.
That's my point.
I got it 3 days after, and I still have people.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, I've had it for quite a while now, and I'm still, like I said, I love the fact that James thought I was one of the only people, and he isn't even on my
screen. Son of a bitch!
Unbelievable. But I was going to say about Mario Kart in general, some of the early reception for the game. I mean, it's generally been quite, because obviously the European outlets have gotten hold of review copies and things, and most of them are quite favourable, except for, quite predictably, Edge has given it a 6. But they gave Double Dash
Edge
a 5. So from that point of view, they've come.
What the fuck? Dude, Double Dash is some of the most fun that I've
Yeah,
have
I mean, I just think that. I
it
mean,
really
we talked about this with Metroid Prime 3 Corruption, which, as terms of as a game, is more unassailable in its quality. I mean, I think that, you know. It's,
what did they give
they
to
give
Corruption?
It 7, which.
Come on.
You know,
that's stupid.
Yeah. So, in many ways, that is worse, because I just think the merit of Corruption is harder to argue with than Mario Kart.
But then what does Edge give, like, a really bad game? Do they give it, like, a -3? I mean.
Well, this is it, isn't it? Certainly not like Famitsu, who seemed to have just given up criticizing Nintendo games at all. It's scathing when it gets.
It's really scathing when it gets a 9.
You know, basically anything that gets, like Phantom Hourglass got 39, so one person went out on a limb.
Yeah, and they're dead now. So
God, a 9.
You know, Edge. People talk about Edge, and when you see these things posted on internet forums, of course the gut reaction is people get pissed off because they're a game that they're really looking forward to got like a 5 or 6, and then Edge defenders will jump in and say, no, their scale is just different. You don't understand the British style of grading games, a 6 is actually good in Edge. But if you look at shit like, I think they just gave Dark Sector on the 360
a 7 or an 8. That was
which is
the
so
fuck?
If Dark Sector is on par with Metroid Prime 3,
the world is over.
You're smoking
crack. Well, I mean,
I don't think it's an issue of Edge being tougher. I think it's kind of more of an issue of that they're assholes. And
they're
fanboys.
Giant internet trolls.
Well, I mean, it's interesting. I mean, the thing is, I mean, I know what probably the people at Edge would say is the first thing they would say is it is asinine to actually complain about reviews based only on a number. They would say you have to read the
Of course, yes. Well, that's all I can compare because
yeah,
I don't have
exactly.
access.
I mean,
to the magazine.
I don't necessarily always get the magazines, but I try to see the text in one form or another of some of these reviews. I can't really recall much about Prime Corruption at this time. But, I mean, and there's always going to be weird little intransitivities with scores and things, but it's just interesting to me that, you know, they do seem to like to take stands on stuff, is what I mean. You know, it doesn't, in terms of the scale, it doesn't so much seem like it's a scale that's shifted in one direction, so much as it's selectively shifted in one direction when they want to make a point.
Yeah, that's kind of what I, that's the impression.
Yeah. I mean, that's certainly how I see it, but... I mean, in terms of my general anticipation for Mario Kart Wii, I can't say as I'm that psyched, regardless of, you know, any of the press outlets or what they're giving it. Just, I don't. I mean, how do you guys feel about it? I mean, obviously, it's a bit further in the future for you, not that much further. But, you know,
well, it's been
what do you think?
It's been surprisingly quiet on this end about Mario Kart Wii. I mean, I think we're still sort of in this vortex of brawl coverage that it hasn't subsided.
It's true, but... You know, Nintendo's having a media event this weekend,
yeah.
And Mario Kart is the primary thing that they're
is
showing
it?
There. So,
I mean, I don't know anything
next
about
week,
it.
You'll start to hear a lot more of uproar. I mean, InnoA, in the past couple years, has started to move their hype for games much, much closer
to
the release
shock
date.
And
I think that's kind of
strategy.
The effect here.
Yeah, but I mean, it's literally, if you don't follow this stuff, you won't even know that Mario Kart's coming
out. I agree
out.
With that. The thing is,
you just don't know.
I mean,
I think that's
insane. I wish I would be. I would say I would be more psyched for it if Brawl's Online wasn't so absolutely terrible.
Oh yeah,
yeah. Because I mean, it's like the main feature of Mario Kart
yeah.
Wii is
yeah.
the online
yeah.
stuff, and that I would be excited about. Except number one, I didn't really think playing Mario Kart DS online was all that much fun. Even though I didn't really have all that many problems with friend codes and stuff, like I could find matches.
Yeah,
I just didn't think it was that much fun.
Well,
and
it's only four races.
And then, of course, the technical problems are on top of that.
I think,
and the motorcycles, I can give a fuck. I mean, who really, honestly, who thought Mario Kart needed
it's
motorcycles?
It's Token.
I did.
I think it's Token, to be honest. I mean, maybe we'll be proved wrong by the actual game, but it seems Token to me.
I mean, they have to change something,
it doesn't
right?
seem like...
You know?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, they had to come up with some theme for this game. I mean, the last few games have all had some sort of theme to them.
Oh, well.
DS was pretty damn the line.
What's the theme of Mario Kart DS? It's like throw every single thing from Mario Kart into the pot and swirl it together.
I think the theme for DS was to really move the online system.
Mm.
That was their...
The online system was
kind of didn't even
crappy.
Have online battle mode, and it's par didn't for the have course, eight but... player or any, you know, I mean, that's the thing.
Well,
I mean,
this
in Mario Kart, we should be a big step in that. You are talking about battle mode online. You are talking about 12 player online, I think. With races,
it should be a big step in a direction.
I just feel like Mario Kart Wii feels like they're checking off boxes.
It does. It feels quite a dispassionate
affair,
doesn't it, of development.
It really does. Like, there's nothing very exciting about it to me, and I think it feels like the kind of game that the people who made it probably really weren't all that excited about it, and they failed to put anything into it that would excite the consumer, which is us. And I don't know, this early in the Wii's lifetime, I don't really think Mario Kart is what it needs. And
especially so close to
I can't
to
imagine
people.
There are that many people sitting around saying, God, if only there was a Mario Kart game for the Wii. I don't know, I find it kind of boring.
I think it was...
I haven't even played it yet.
I think
the
weirdest thing about this game is the fact that it's going to come out...
By the way, I'm reviewing it.
Oh, nice. I think the weirdest thing about this game is that it's going to come out, and it's going to never have been centrally featured at a big press a big event. Has there ever been a major Nintendo franchise game in the last 10 years?
I mean, it wasn't quite...
Diddy Kong Racing and a bunch of other shit, I mean, too. It's not that
It wasn't,
rare.
Like, a big thing. It was quite big at E3, because it was, like, last year, because it wasn't Wii Fit. You know, if you didn't give...
I don't think it was playable.
No, it wasn't playable, but in terms of just them... Because, I mean, to be honest, does it really matter if it's playable?
It was at GDC.
Yeah. I mean, but in terms of that was kind of... In terms of at that point, it seemed like that was, like, their counterpoint to Wii Fit. So it was kind of a big deal.
Yeah,
but
I mean, usually...
Hasn't necessarily followed through on that.
Yeah, I don't think they really did all that much for it, to be honest.
Man, I think it's kind of sad that I'm more excited about Wii Fit than I am Mario Kart.
I'm rather unexcited for both of them, to be honest. I mean...
Honestly, if you want to know just how kind of pathetic the attempt is... I'm not saying it's going to be a bad game, because I don't know yet. But just in terms of hype, look at the fucking name of the game. It's Mario Kart Wii.
I thought that was a...
It literally is like a checkbox. It's like we have to have every franchise appear on the system. They're going back to the N64 style, where they're just adding the name of the system to
the
end of the game.
You know what's funny? I was on our database yesterday, our game database, and I saw it was Mario Kart Wii, and I thought, oh my god, we haven't updated the title yet. And I went around to a bunch of websites, and I'm looking at it, I'm like, oh my god, they're actually going to call it that. Yeah.
It's kind of amazing. I mean, I thought we were beyond that.
Give us something.
I don't know.
Well, I mean, some of it's laziness. Some of it's that they just did it with DS. And some of it is that they are trying to position it closer to the other games that have Wii in them. Wii Sports and Wii Play and all that.
Yeah, I think it's the same market, really. Yeah. I think it's more or less. I think there is going to be a much more hardcore gamer element to it. You know, people who go, I'm going to find out all the strategies for getting the best advantage. But I think it's still a very casual, friendly game.
Oh, yeah. It doesn't sound like they've really upped it in terms of, like, you know, the one thing that always irks me about Mario Kart, especially some of the latter-day iterations, is that you make the 150cc class different. A lot faster, a lot harder. You know, if people don't like it, they don't have to play it. They can play it on 50cc or 100cc. You know, what is the point of having separate classes if they are not that different?
Yeah.
The funniest thing I read about it, just in terms of ho-humness, there's actually, I was on Amazon, and they have a gaming blog, you know, they try to hype products or whatever. The funniest thing was they were talking about how it was kind of a ho-hum April, and you might want to try... I forget what they were actually hyping, but they were like, it's kind of a ho-hum April, and you might want to try this. But there, the first line is, yeah, you know, there isn't really much going on in gaming this month aside from, you know, Mario Kart Wii and Grand Theft Auto 4, which I totally disagree with, because Grand Theft Auto 4 is, like, one of the hugest releases ever in the history of gaming. But they kind of... they were right. mentioning Mario Kart Wii, like, sort of like... Yeah, you know, there's Mario Kart Wii, but nobody really cares about it, so here's what you might want to buy.
It's an also-ran. I think Greg has a very good point in that they're positioning Mario Kart Wii as one of these casual family titles, along with Wii Sports, Wii Fit, Wii Play, Wii Music, whatever, and that's why it has the word Wii in it. But if you think about it, that really puts it in a separate category. It's like, on the one hand, you have those games. On the other hand, you have the games that don't have Wii in the title, like Super Mario yeah. Galaxy, Metroid Prime 3, Legend of Zelda Twilight Princess, and stuff like that. And I think it's kind of sad, because Mario Kart, for a time, felt like it was legitimately in both yeah. camps. You know,
I think it's still...
like it could be played by anyone, but the hardcore Nintendo fans really enjoyed it too. And I think with Mario Kart Wii, you're kind of seeing a backlash here of the way that they've marketed it, or at least the way that they've presented it to the community so far, in that the hardcore gamers have no enthusiasm whatsoever for it, except like maybe the really hardcore snakers, like that kind of
they're
people.
They're pissed already though, yeah. because the snaking's
no,
out.
No, but what I'm saying is there's going to be a nasty disconnect when all the casual people try the online mode, which they may very well actually attempt, and they get matched up with these really, really hardcore asshole Mario Kart players
well,
who are gonna, you know, gonna destroy them.
Didn't they say, though, that they're gonna try to do much better matchmaking this time?
I'll try. Yeah.
Dude, they ran commercials for their matchmaking.
Yeah, I know, I know, but
yes,
I mean, even...
And it was bullshit.
Even they admit that matchmaking was bad. I
well,
think
yeah, but that's all. Well, you can do that in retrospect, and then before the event, you say, we're gonna try and do something. And then you fail.
Yeah, I mean, that's Nintendo's pattern, isn't it? They promise the world with online play, and then afterwards they say, oops, we fucked up, and they
I can't wait.
They haven't gotten yeah. any
I
better.
I can't wait to
so.
See what they say if we get an interview with them during the media summit, because I know the questions that we've got are all just going to be like, hey, why doesn't this work?
Yeah, I wrote about
yeah,
20 questions
that was pretty
today.
Thorough.
I'd be happy if any of them get a straight answer.
Sent three, and I was able to answer them on AIM to Wendy, just what every answer is going to be. They're all going to be like, yeah. we're going to try to deliver the best online platform we can, and we're constantly making improvements to our game and to our services because our customers are important to us, or something like
constantly
that.
Constantly making improvements, like,
like allowing friend codes to connect.
I mean, what does that mean? You know, they can't say that. That's totally false. They're not patching these things. They're not upgrading the servers that I can tell.
Well, you know, I wrote, as a joke, I wrote a response to a question I had already for a feature I'm working on, and I showed it to James Charlton, our Japanese correspondent, and he didn't even realize I'd completely made up that bogus word working on it sort of thing. He's like, oh, wow, you got a quick response from them. I'm like, no, I wrote
yeah.
that.
Yeah, they really are kind of predictable.
They're just so freaking
well,
predictable.
Anyway.
Almost as...
Guys, we're probably approaching the length record of all time for new business.
Yeah,
I want to cut us off and we'll take a break and come back with something totally different for the second segment. So look forward to it. You'll be surprised. Hey everyone, we're back, or I should say I'm back. This is just Johnny, and yeah, basically the show's over. I'm just recording this little snippet to tack onto the end here just to say that the second segment I had planned did not work out so well. We had massive technical failures across the board, and it was a big mess, and it's too bad. We had some of the newer people on the staff who've never been on the show, and I was going to put them on. We're going to talk about the news. Yeah, it didn't work so well, and it's not their fault, it's not anyone's fault, it's just not going to happen this week, but I'm planning to have them all on the show at some point, maybe not all together, but at least one at a time, so please look forward to that, and sorry for the bait and switch here, but hopefully you enjoyed our record-length new business, and can appreciate that as a podcast unto itself, because that's what it's going to have to be this week. Anyway, peace out. Until next week. Yeah, I thought it was great, dude. I'm standing up. I'm so excited. I've been standing up for 20 minutes. Yeah, I'm excited. This is, like, good shit.